Teacher friends, the episode that you are about to hear got thousands of downloads this past year. Thousands of teachers across the world were like, yes, that is the episode that I needed in my teacher life. And it's called 3 Super Simple Ways to Engage Students, and all you need is paper. Now, I'm not sure if this got so many listens because teachers are always looking for something simple, or it got so much traction because of the person I brought to the microphone with me, which is special guest, my buddy, Jack Berkmeyer. The best part is these ideas get actual student results because we unpack how you can actually use these and get no students to refuse to participate. Literally, you're going to be mind blown. They're simple, they're strategic, and I promise that it is going to be one of the episodes that you're like, ooh, I gotta remember that for this upcoming school year. Whether you are finding yourself in the first week of summer right now, you are finding this episode later and you're feeling frantic, I promise this fun episode will absolutely help if you are just wanting awesome ways to engage students. So let's get into it. Teachers, I have a little trivia question for you. What do the following 3 items all have in common? Note cards, Uno cards, and paper plates. If you answered, they're all made of paper, you are correct. Nice, good job. But if you also answered that note cards, Uno cards, and paper plates are also 3 super simple strategic ways to engage students, you would also be correct. I think sometimes as educators, we actually overcomplicate the classroom. And what if we had an opportunity to simplify things and say, you know what? Let's bust out some plain old note cards. Let's bust out a deck of Uno cards and hell, let's get some paper plates from the pantry and create a wildly engaging lesson. Well, if you're needing strategies to get kids participating, engaging, learning, and also laughing, then this episode is for you. Because I've invited my best friend, Jack Berkmeyer, to this episode, and we have a blast chatting about 3 simple solutions to actually make learning fun and to get 100% of your students participating. If you've ever heard an episode with Jack, you know that you are in for a real treat, not because he's absolutely hilarious, but also because he's coming with just practical solutions, and you get to hear our friendship unfold over 2 microphones. So, I think we have hit the time of the school year where we kind of feel like we are drowning, but don't despair. These 3 ideas are going to help you. So, let's get into the episode. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Well, we are in the what?
We're in the Monica G Studios.
And we're coming with some great ideas today. If you are frustrated about student engagement and students not participating and students being like, no, I'm good, thanks, then you're in the right spot because we got 3 bomb ideas on how to engage students.
Yeah, and you're right. It is harder now to engage students than it has ever been. And a lot of that is technology.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you could literally, as a teacher, like, set a gerbil on fire and shoot it across the room, and a kid's be like, seen it, YouTube.
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you that are listening, please do not shoot a gerbil across the room that is on fire. I need to do a disclaimer. Because yes, you never know. Someone goes, oh my God, that's a really great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his insurance is definitely not that good, okay? Here's the great news, though, is that all three of these ideas that we're going to share with you use zero technology and also use zero gerbils. So if you don't like using technology and you don't want to harm gerbils...
That was actually funny.
Thank you.
That was pretty good.
Okay. And
that, by the way, these are not scripted podcasts.
No.
So we don't know either one of us is going to say.
Yeah.
Am I going first?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, you know, I firmly believe about the fact that we don't overcomplicate things. Like
right.
You said, let's keep it simple.
Uh-huh.
And so obviously this is going to be tough because you're listening to this, but all of you know an index card. The problem is index cards come in various sizes. And I want you to think about that because this activity can be on smaller index cards. It can be on post-it notes.
Mm-hmm.
It can be on bigger index cards. But it does need to be something of a heavier stock.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Because kids grab things, and what do? They wrinkle it and destroy it within seconds. All right, so
well,
what I'm...
Show the viewers,
oh, yeah,
if you're watching some of the recordings of this, you've got nice
hard
stuff.
That's like AI. That's the worst two letters.
We said this didn't use technology, and now he's flashing AI on the screen? What?
There we go.
Ayo!
Ayo! Okay, so basically what you do is you put every letter of the alphabet, A through Z,
yes,
individually on an index card, right?
Okay.
And so kids can do this in groups. They can also do this at their desk if you have the smaller, like, little post-y notes or smaller index cards.
Yeah.
And what you do is you start off with any topic. This is what I love about this. Any subject, any day, any topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I could start off and say, we are going to clear the cards. You have 30 seconds to clear as many cards based on this question. Historical places.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example of the first thing that popped into your head in regards to a historical place.
Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower. What letter does the Eiffel Tower start with?
Okay, so
we're both bad spellers.
I'm very bad at spelling. Like Eiffel, like this is why English phonics is just a boatload of shit, is because what would a student think? Eiffel Tower starts with I, but I'm actually pretty sure it's an E.
It is an E. That is absolutely right. So what the kid would do is take the E off of the table, or the group would take the E off the table, which means all of your other answers cannot start with the letter
E.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what it is it's great for checking for background knowledge,
mm-hmm,
previous knowledge, or it's great as a pre and post assessment.
Okay.
Meaning, my questions after doing this unit of study could be a little bit bigger. But again, it's very quick. It's very fast.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds, 45 seconds. And here's what I love about this is when they do it in groups,
mm-hmm,
what I ask kids to do, or for me, adults to do, is I say, pick the person in your group who's the most judgy.
Okay.
And so the kids will, like, obviously point to somebody and or point to, you know, whomever. So that person actually goes to the next group and they are the judge for that group. Here's an example. If we don't have someone judging that group, kids will say anything to take away a letter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say historical places, they'd say my dad's house. Okay.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's not a legit answer. So the judge is there to say, no, that is not a legitimate answer.
Got it. Okay.
And so, plus what I love about that is it kind of gets kids to have a little more empowerment and stuff like that, which they love. But like I said, you can do this with any topic, any subject area. It could be famous scientists, same thing. So it's Isaac Newton or whoever, like, and they take the first letter of the answer. And what I do is give them more time at the beginning. So the first round may be a minute. And then the second round, I would do less time.
Okay.
And it's so much fun. Kids get so into it. It gets so loud. It gets so crazy. But again, what a great way to check for comprehension and a great way even to introduce vocabulary, whatever you want to do.
And so let me ask a clarifying question. And I wonder if teachers are also, because we're obsessed with, like, knowing all of the rules. So when is the game over? How does a group win?
I'm not about winning and losing, Monica. I think that's sad. I think it's really about an experience of children being able to learn and stuff, not about winning.
Well, the SEL teacher in me will say, I think we need to teach kids how to be graceful winners and respectful losers. So
there's no need to look at me when you say losers.
Losers. Okay.
Yes, that's a good question. So the ideal is to clear all the letters.
Okay.
So you win if you can, within that time frame, mm-hmm. legitimately clear all those letters.
Got it.
And what's fun is, you know, certain letters are going to be harder, like X and Z and Y.
So name a historical landmark that starts with the Yucca. Letter Z. Yucca starts with a Z?
No, I was with a Y. No. Sorry, okay. With a Z. What? I hate when you put me on the spot.
See, he can't clear. He can't clear.
I can clear. You know what? Go on and I'll remember. You know what, listeners? Please email me an answer to a historical place that begins with a Z. Because someone right now listening to this is going, you idiot, blah, blah, blah is the answer.
Well, I think that brings me to my idea.
While you're doing that, I'm going to Google.
No, you know what we're going to do? We're going to reverse my question. Name a historical place that starts with the letter S.
S.
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty sounds like a great
Okay. Did I just bust out an enormous reverse Uno card? Yes, I did. Because my classroom engagement strategy is actually based off of Uno. Okay? And it can be big Uno, little Uno, normal size Uno. But what I have found with classroom engagement is that sometimes things derail us, right? And then we get off topic and then your classroom engagement absolutely tanks. Sometimes kids will say things that was like, nope, we're not doing that. And so what I love is using Uno cards, okay? So for example, if something, like I said something that got us off track, or a student says something that got us off track, is like, oh, we're gonna rewind, we're gonna reverse that, okay? And it's honestly just a silly way and also a very visual way to be like, oh, nope, rewind. And it totally works, okay? Or let's say you gave an I said to you, hey, name a historical landmark that starts with the letter B.
Mm-hmm.
You said?
Baton Rouge.
Are we doing cities? Yeah, I know. Is that what we're doing? Okay.
You know, I'm not doing well on spontaneity.
All right. I'm going to give that answer a 6, okay? I'm going to give that answer a 6. Let's try again. Name a landmark that starts with the letter T.
Timbuktu.
Taj Mahal would have been a good answer. I would have given Taj Mahal a 9. This is a shitty example because it's literally your game and I'm the one doing all of the work on this.
I was thinking that most of mine you could use the skip symbol.
Okay.
Could you not?
Oh, lucky for you, I have a skip symbol right here. Okay. So again, just a visual, quick, easy reminder. And I think oftentimes with classroom engagement, if we can get kids laughing, I think we can also get kids learning, because I think it's just that, like, that snap of that was silly, let's move forward. And I leverage that as much as I possibly can. Because I think kids these days, if we show a little bit of like anger or like a zinger at them, they'll be like, screw you, Miss Shenta. Mm. I don't effing even care. Whereas if we can just create a classroom environment where we're having fun, kids are going to also feel more comfortable engaging. And so this is also something that kids are familiar with, because do you know that it was really popular for athletes to carry Uno cards in their pockets for various like activities? And when they would get like penalized on the sidelines from their coach, they would whip out a reverse card and be like, nah. And it was something that was kind of like rude and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. It was like not a good use of Uno cards. So what I also love is this is like culturally relevant to our kids, because this was trending on TikTok. And now we are utilizing it in a positive way in the classroom instead of a punitive way from like TikTok. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you were talking about that, I also thought back to my thing about kids that are judgy.
Yeah.
You know what? You could assign 5 or 6 kids in the classroom to have their own individual deck.
Yeah. And they just all hold it up like, ooh,
yeah.
Draw 4.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that card, Jack?
I don't know, but that could be like the kid has to do a TikTok dance.
I'm probably not going to do that. Know. That's going to really derail the class.
Okay. This portion of the show was brought to you by Uno, the game you never play by yourself.
That was actually really good.
Thank you. By the way, I've been thinking about that since you said you were going to use the Uno.
So desperate. Honestly, if you're curious, because I have the world's largest Uno, and I also have the world's smallest Uno, because it just makes it even more fun and silly. I'll put a link for those in the show notes. I'll show you the exact decks that I get. You can go to monicagenta.com/Amazon to take a look at those and add those to your cart just so you are ready to go. Or you know what you can use? You can use just a normal old Uno deck that you have rubber banded together in a junk drawer in your home. Like, we don't need to overcomplicate it.
I just didn't know there were show notes.
Yeah, there are show notes.
I had no idea.
Is there something that you want to put in the show notes?
Maybe for some other podcasts. I love that idea. Okay. I'm learning every time I come here to the Monica G Studios that there's something new and different and unique.
Yes.
And you know what? Can I just say, this is a shameless plug. I'm just honored that you even asked me back.
I didn't ask you. You texted me and said, I'm flying to your house. Let's record some podcast episodes. So this was, he invited himself. Okay.
You know, I'm not going to disagree with that.
No, in all seriousness, are you kidding? I absolutely love doing this with you. This is hilarious. Didn't expect that zinger. That was funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last podcast with Jack and Monica right now.
This is the finale.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm known for a lot of things.
That's a loaded statement.
It is a very loaded statement. But I'm known for using paper plates.
Yeah,
not that I invented
for sure.
Paper plates.
No.
Like, people know, they go, oh, Jack Berkmeyer, paper plates.
Yes, it's actually true, honestly, because you consulted in my school and we did a paper plate thing.
Yeah, and it's simple and it's easy. So
yeah.
For those of you at home, what I've done is I have taken just a simple paper plate. And this one is the cheap Walmart one that I got from Monica's house, because mm-hmm. God forbid she'd have expensive Dixie ones. But the point is
they're
is
from the Aldi.
They're from the Aldi. And what you do is you put every letter of the alphabet on a paper plate, so separately.
Okay.
So those of you that visually aren't seeing that, I don't want you to think you put A to Z all on one paper plate. So one paper plate would be an A, the next mm-hmm. paper plate would be a B, C, D, and so forth. So here's the thing. Why do I love the cheap paper plates? Because, okay, elementary people, get ready. You're going to get excited about this because you can laminate them. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Elementary teachers, I love them. They can laminate anything. I once mm-hmm. saw a gerbil laminated on a wheel. The point is that nothing.
Don't laminate gerbils.
I know. There you go. So anyway, but again, you can laminate these again, and they're heavier stock, right? Because kids tend to crush and mm-hmm. fold and all that kind of stuff. So here's what you do. You can use this in any subject, any grade level, any topic. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is, again, there's going to be how many letters of the alphabet?
27?
26.
Shit. Well, to be clear, he's only got two paper plates and...
The Letters of the Alphabet by Monica Genta.
I just skipped the letter Z.
All right, so if the word... Okay, so now you got me all flustered. Okay, focus. Here we go. So what you do is you ask a kid a question. Like,
okay.
I was language arts, so it might be a spelling, right?
Okay.
So you might say, spell the word aardvark. And again, they're in teams mm-hmm. of about five kids per group. And what you literally do is spell aardvark. Now, the problem with aardvark is this. There are two A's in aardvark, right?
I wouldn't have known that.
And yes, I know. That's why I use that one. And so what happens is kids line up, and what they have to do is physically move these paper plates down when they go to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be A-A-R-D-V-A, and they have to move down again to where the A is R-K.
Okay.
So basically what it does, it gets kids up moving and active. But here's the trick of this activity. If you got four or five groups of kids doing this activity, never do what every teacher does, which is the first group gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on. No. I want every group to give me that answer, which is repetitiveness, correct?
Okay.
They're now going to hear how to spell aardvark five times correctly. And again, every group gets to participate. Now,
mm-hmm.
here's where it's so cool. If you use science, for example, you're a mm-hmm. science nerd. I love that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you said, what happens if you mix these two chemicals? They can answer using those paper plates with mm-hmm. the word boom. Don't take rocks for granted. All right.
That joke has lost its luster.
I don't get that one. Is luster a science thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
If we're talking about rocks, like a rock's luster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were on a streak. Also a rock punt.
For those of you that can't visually see this, I dozed off for a second. All right. I'm back. All right. Science. So you can literally do anything. History. Who was the leader of the war? Can you not give me the answer using the paper plates?
You could.
You could. Now, here's where you say, Jack, you're a genius. Wait for her to pause and say,
tell me.
No, you're supposed to say, Jack, you're a genius.
Oh, I thought you, no, I thought you said, here's where you say, I thought you were going to drop something big.
I said, this is where you say, Jack, you're a genius.
Jack, you're a genius.
Forget it now. It's gone.
Okay.
So can you do math? Absolutely. Do digits zero numbers through nine,
yeah,
addition, subtraction sign, mm-hmm, equal sign,
yeah,
power to the alligator, yum, yum. You know, you can, yeah, do the greater than, less than. Mm-hmm. You can do the, you know, power to the two, math crap.
Yeah.
So you can literally put anything on these paper plates, gets, mm-hmm, kids up, moving, and active.
Love it. Love it.
And it's simple.
100%.
And by the way, I modified this during the COVIDs, is that you could also put these on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, you can have kids seated,
mm-hmm,
and one kid, you ask the question of, what is a way to look at rocks?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what was that word? Shimmer? What was the word did you use a second ago?
No, you are not following
luster
me on this.
Luster.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how shiny it is.
That's what I just said. Yeah. So how do you know if a rock is shiny? It has luster. The kid could then touch the letter L-U-S-T-R, S-T-E-R,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So then kids sit down and write down the letters,
okay,
and then that's just, it keeps it a little more controlled,
mm-hmm,
not so much moving around and yelling and screaming. But again, it's simple. That's all I'm asking, is any question can, mm-hmm, be asked using simple paper plates.
Yeah. Here's what's kind of interesting, is all three of these ideas are like little to no prep. You have note cards in your classroom. You've got paper plates at your house. You probably have a deck of Uno cards in your classroom or at your house. Like, simple strategies are significant strategies. Love it. Love it.
And it doesn't involve technology.
Does not involve technology or gerbils. So these are wins. Let me ask you one final question for this episode. Do you actually believe that simple strategies are significant strategies? Do you believe that simple solutions can actually lead to enormous student success? Because if you do, I have something awesome for you. Because now is the perfect time to dive into some books that are full of simple and strategic strategies that will actually make a difference in your school. And both Jack and myself have put out some books that are honestly unlike other books in education. They are filled with practical, easy to implement ideas that actually make a difference in the world of education for today's students. Jack has some amazing books like Successful Middle School Teaming, Taming of the Team, Managing the Madness, and all of those can be found on his website. And I've got a number of books that are perfect for school climate and culture and ways to absolutely build better relationships with staff and students. You can check out 180 Days of Awesome, Game Changers, The Rooted Classroom, and so many more at monicagenta.com/books. If you want to read something that is going to make you for sure laugh and also for sure learn in just small, meaningful ways, then you should check out these books, because if you are listening to this during the summer replay episode, you've got some teacher time. And I would say that the books 180 Days of Awesome or Managing the Madness pair very well with a pool and a pina colada, if I'm being honest. You can check out those books at monicagenta.com/books, and I'm also going to put a direct link in the show notes. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but more importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.